Thank you, Everett. The children are dismissed for children's search. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the word of God that speaks to our hearts and helps us to know what's good and what's right and what isn't good. Lord, give us insight today as we try to apply this passage to our lives so we might become more and more like Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. It's on page 1015 in the Pew Bible. 1015. It says in verse 13, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." We're studying through 1 Peter, and we just happened to come by this passage today. It has nothing to do with what's happening in our world or our government. It just happened to be in the next thing to speak about today, so it's not on purpose that we're talking about this. It's God's will, I guess, that we're looking at this. I think the theme of this section, this paragraph, is obeying the government even when it isn't fair, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against our wishes. You know, Peter tells us that we should live holy lives. He talks about that in verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." So we should be separate. We should be like Jesus in the way we act, separate for the good things God wants to do in this world. In chapter 1, it also talks about being aliens and strangers in this world. You know, it's like living like we don't have a permanent residence here. And from that, it might be easy to conclude, hey, we're foreigners. We don't have civic responsibilities here. We don't have to obey the government. But Peter begins a new section by telling us to submit. And this is one of Paul's or Peter's favorite words, submit. And he uses it six times in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And submit is a military term. It means to put oneself under voluntarily in rank, to place oneself under in rank, to have an attitude of respect that results in obedience. You know, surely as they strove to live holy lives in Nero's empire. Does anybody know anything about Nero? That this would be a real issue. There'd be a lot of questions to wouldn't figure out what to do. You know, Nero set Rome on fire, and then he blamed it on the Christians. And there was a time when he would light the streets with Christians' bodies. I mean, he was that vicious of a person. And that's the context that 1 Peter was written in. There were many things that weren't fair. Certainly there were things that got under their skin, that gnawed at their their souls at night. You have anything in your mind that kind of picks on you, that gnaws you at night? Why were they to obey the government? Excuse me. In verses 13 through 17, I think we can come up with four reasons to obey the government. Four reasons to obey the government. First of all, for the Lord's sake. Look at verses 13 through 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For the Lord's sake, because of Jesus, because of our love for Jesus, we should obey the government. You know, and sometimes we wouldn't do it for any other reason, would we? It's the only reason why we would do it. It says that every authority instituted among men, and that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? There's hardly any wiggle room that you can get away from this and looking at the passage. Every authority. It included kings and governors, Caesar and those who are sent out by the Senate, the Roman Senate. Maybe we could translate that as federal laws and state and local laws. Paying our taxes and following traffic laws. Ouch. Those are hard to do, aren't they? 141 and a 40, and you get picked up. That's hard. For the Lord's sake, we obey. Might be good. Thank you very much. I think we're going to get through this. You know, once there was a pastor who was working in a city, and he had a meeting to attend. He couldn't find a place to park. And he was looking at his watch, and he was running out of time. And he had been around this place a lot of times. And so finally he parked his car in a no parking zone. And he left a note on his windshield that said, "I have circled this block 10 times. I couldn't find a parking spot. Please forgive us our trespasses." Well, he finished his meeting, and he returned, and he found a ticket, a traffic ticket, a parking ticket on his windshield with a note. And the policeman wrote, "I've circled this block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." You know, we obey for the Lord's sake. We obey because of Jesus. And it's hard sometimes. It's really hard to obey the things the government tells us to do at times. But we do it because of Jesus. The second reason I found in this passage is for our testimony. Verse 15, it says, "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorance, the ignorant talk of foolish men." If we love Jesus, then we want his will to be done. Sometimes our doing the difficult things silences the talk of foolish men. The word for silence here means to muzzle. We used to have muzzle for our dog in the Czech Republic because you were required to have a muzzle on that dog sometimes. And it means to render someone speechless or not allow them to use their jaws for some reason, to stop baseless charges and rumors. In the Czech Republic, we had a lot of opportunities to choose to obey or not to obey the law. And there were some things that we chose to kind of get around so we wouldn't have to obey. One of them was going into a restaurant there, and sometimes they would have two menus, and one was for foreigners, and one was for native Czechs. And for foreigners, it was 25% more expensive for the same food. So we decided that we're not going to go there. You know, we're not going to obey that, but we're just not going to go there. And so we kind of got around that by not making a problem for those people. They just would tell us, you know, hey, people in the United States make more money than we do here, so you should pay more if we didn't agree. But it wasn't any sense in arguing with them. But in another area, we met with the Secretary of the Treasury for the Czech Republic, and it was his idea or his opinion that everybody that lived in the country should be paying taxes, even if they didn't receive any money from the Czech country or the Czech people. And, you know, it just wasn't fair. We paid taxes. We paid big taxes. We had no vote. You know, Americans like this without what? Without representation, taxation without representation. That's what we're in. We had no vote. This didn't benefit us in any way. And yet we had to do it for our testimony. It became a part of working there, expensive working there. But it was done to protect our testimony. We had some people who didn't pay their taxes and they got caught. And then they had to pay not only the taxes, but penalties and fines and jail time on top of that. And then all the people around would say, hey, these foreigners, these missionaries don't pay taxes. So we paid taxes because of our testimony. We didn't allow them to use that, our situation or our behavior as an excuse against Christ. We should submit because of our testimony for Jesus. That's more important than any money, isn't it? Our testimony about Jesus. A third reason, because we are free and yet servants. Look at verse 16. It says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. The right attitude is important for our credibility. Christ has freed us from Satan's bondage, from our need to have everything fair in our lives. And, you know, our sons, Joel was the one who we thought was going to grow up to be a judge someday or an attorney, because he was always telling us about what was fair and something that wasn't fair. And we always said, well, Joel, the fair is in the fall. You know, other than that, nothing's going to be fair in this life. So just expect these things. It wasn't fair. We don't have to have everything fair because we know it's not going to be in this life. And we're not to use our freedom as a covering for evil. And the idea here for covering is a mask or veil as a covering for evil. Exercise your freedom by serving God, and not by breaking the rules. A good example of this is a guy named Nehemiah. You know, he used his freedom as a tool to build with and not as a weapon to fight with. He gave up his own rights as a free man that he might help his people and restore the walls of Jerusalem. If you have your Bible, the Pew Bible, turn to 398 in the Pew Bible. And you know, Nehemiah was part of the people who had been taken out of Israel, and now he was serving as the cupbearer for the king. But there were going to be opportunities for him as a free man yet to do things for God. Verse 2, it starts out, it says, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the exile. concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who has survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And then the rest of the chapter gives us his prayer, what he prayed for the people in Jerusalem, as well as his people in Babylon. And then he decides to do something, to put his freedom to work. Chapter 2, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad at his presence, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. And I was very much afraid. You know, because if you were afraid in the king's presence, he could take your head. You know, this could be the end for you. That's how serious it was. Verse 3, I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the king, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And verse 6, and the Lord said to me, the queen was sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. Nehemiah was free. And yet he used his freedom not as a tool to build, not as a tool to the weapon to fight with, but as a tool to build with. And that's how we should use our freedom in Christ. Submit because we are free, yet servants. And then the last reason I found in verse 17, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. This good news about Jesus is for all people. And our desire to share God's grace should be an offer for everybody. People at different levels of society. Not just those who are below us or above us, but in every level of society. Peter summarizes this submission in the four dimensions of life. First of all, he says, honor everyone. And that reminded me of Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Every person was created in the image of God. Every single person. Slaves, and sometimes, many times, women in that time were treated not as people, but as just property to be given away, to be used in a lot of different ways, and not as people. Peter says that we're not to treat people, anyone, in that way. Honor everyone. The second dimension, love the brotherhood of believers. Agape, the brotherhood of believers. John 13, verses 34 through 35 says, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, they would show the world that they belonged to Jesus because they loved each other. The third area, the third dimension of life is to fear God. to fear God. And that's repeated from verse 17 in chapter 1. Since you call on a Father who judges every man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Have the utmost respect for God. Trust Him. Worship Him as part of our fear of Him. And finally, the fourth area, honor the King. Remember what Everett read for us? He read Romans chapter 13. And Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The King is worthy of respect and obedience. An example of this we find in the book, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. Remember Daniel and his three friends? Let's see, if you want to look there, that's on page 737 in a Pew Bible. Daniel and his three friends were members of the royal family in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was, you know, destroyed. And they were taken to Babylon to serve the king there. And, you know, it would have been easy for Daniel and his three friends just to say, you know, with that attitude, we serve the real God. You know, you guys don't have a chance compared to what we have. But one of the things they were trying to do is to feed these boys, you know, food that wasn't clean. It wasn't acceptable for Jewish people. And Daniel and his three friends decided to obey God. But at the same time as they were obeying God, not to offend the leadership in Babylon. That's really hard to do, isn't it? Starting in verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all wisdom, visions, and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought in them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. Among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. Daniel, his three friends, decided to disobey the law. But they did it in a way that they proved that they honored the king and respected his authorities. They glorified God and honored the king. In that way, they made the gospel available to all men, regardless of their position, regardless of where they were in society. This became a faith that was receptive, that was something that would draw them to God rather than repel them from the true God. Lots of things have to do with attitude, don't they, in this life that we have. God has to work through the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change our attitudes as we decide about these things, whether to obey or disobey, and in what way. So the four reasons to obey the government: for the Lord's sake, first of all, because we love Jesus, for the Lord's sake. You know, we can do a lot for the Lord's sake, can't we? For the Lord's sake. He's done so much for us. He went to the tree, he went to the cross, and died there voluntarily so that we might, through faith, have eternal life. We can do a lot because of what he's done for us. Secondly, for our testimony, that people might see Jesus in us in a powerful way. That's what we want, isn't it? We want people to see the life of Christ being lived out in our lives. Christians are like little Christs. That's what the word Christian means, little Christs. And we have been given this privilege to be like Jesus, become more and more like Jesus, and serve as his priests in this world around us. Thirdly, because we are free, yet servants, we're to use our freedom to glorify God, not to fight against folks for just different reasons. And finally, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. It says that in Timothy, doesn't it? God doesn't want one person to perish, whether that person's a king, whether that person is someone who serves the king, whether that's a slave. God gave his son to die on the cross for every person. It says in John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that what? So that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That's an offer to every single person on the face of the earth. Whosoever believes in him might have everlasting life. A couple questions as we close. You got anything in your life about the government that gets under your skin? That kind of gnaws at your mind at night, and you can't get away from this. I might have a couple of those things, but God helps me with those things. Need God's wisdom for making the right choices in these areas? We all do, don't we? We need God's wisdom for many things that we have to decide about in life. And our wisdom just doesn't measure up all the time, does it? We need God's wisdom to answer correctly in these areas. You know, what we have to do in this area is like we have to do in a lot of other areas. We got to trust him. We got to put our faith in God and his word. Trust him, because he has the answers. They're all better than the answers than we have. And when we trust him, guess what? He gives us the answers. He fills us with this peace that passes all understanding, because that's the way the Word of God and the Spirit of God works as we go through this life and we walk with him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's a great way, a great day to step forward and say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be a part of my life. I want God to work in my life to help me with not only decisions about the government, but all kinds of other just kind of decisions I make too. I want his help. It's only possible through Christ, through knowing him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for helping me today and with my voice and getting through this passage. Lord, we just pray that will seek you, that will honor you, will glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand for the final song.